Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad was sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Zebulun sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to God, our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Young, very much. Now, when we come to chapter 7, it's evident, of course, it separates the sixth seal from the seventh seal of chapter 6 and chapter 8. That indicates to us, although the chapters run chronological in our English Bible, the events recorded in the chapters do not necessarily run in chronological order. So when we come to chapter 7 as to its events must actually take place before the seals are broken in chapter 6. For what we have in chapter 7 is that cry from the angel from the sun rising in the east, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees. And therefore it must be in chapter 7, these things must take place prior to the opening of the seventh sealed book in chapter 6. Just want you to notice that, because you'll get that again as you go on reading through the book of the Revelation. There are certain chapters, and the events do not follow after what you've just read. They generally come before that event. And so we find in chapter 7, we're going to consider events that took place prior to the opening of that seven sealed book. Now keep that in your mind as we look at just one or two of the main lines of truth being taught in this chapter. After these things is how the chapter opens, indicating to us that there is a time scale and there's a time period in which God is working. Now we do find, of course, in these opening verses a very important truth, for we have Now we have four angels, and we have the four winds, we have the four corners of the earth, and these are held under the control of angelic beings. Evidently, God has used angels in relation to the events happening upon the earth. And so we find that it's true today. God is still governing the whole universe through his angels. And so it will be until, of course, the church comes into her own in relation to that millennial reign, when Christ will govern the whole universe in association with the church. But for the moment, it's God. He's administrating the affairs of the universe in association with angels. And so we find that angels control the four winds of earth and the four corners, etc., indicating to us that what we have in these opening verses is the universal aspect of the events that take place according to the program of God. And so we need to remember that even in this day. Look, God does control even the affairs of earth and the sea and the trees. Everything's under divine control. So although there were these four angels on having the four winds at the four corners of the earth, although they're ready in order to do their particular work under the good hand of God, suddenly an angel rises from the east. I take it from the sun rising, of course, who declares with a loud voice, "Hurt not the earth nor the sea." And so we find that this chapter must then, as to its time scale, come before the opening of the seven sealed book in chapter 6. Because the opening of those first four seals, it involves the earth, and it involves the sea, and involves, of course, things on the earth, and everything in chapter 6 and those first four seals when they're open has to do with the earth and the sea. So now the angel cries, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea." And so we find at this point, before ever the seven seals are loosed, there is this divine acclamation through the angel, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea." And so just for our own encouragement, let's always remember everything is under the control of God. Even things through the wind and the earth and the sea, all under his control. And so, for the moment, the angels are halted from issuing their judgments upon the earth and the sea, as revealed in those opening seals of that seven-sealed book. Then we observe this. Not only does God control everything, in association with angels, and these four angels in particular had control of things on earth and the sea, and they were commanded not to hurt. Why not? Because the angel from the sun rising from the east had in his hand the seal of God. And before ever the events of chapter 6 take place, there are going to be those who will be sealed with the seal of God. So I just point this out because you'll come across it again in the reading of this book of Revelation. Events do not always follow a chronological order. And so the seals could not be loosed from that seven seal book until the sealing of these 144,000 of the tribes of Israel have taken place. And so somewhere between the rapture of the church and the commencement of Daniel's 70th week, which is, of course, seen in the seven seals of chapter 6. Between that period, these things will take place. God is going to seal 144,000 of the children of the tribes of the children of Israel. And in order to do that, then the judgment upon the earth was held back until the sealing was complete, reminding us, of course, God will not leave himself without a witness. And you know, although Israel is scattered throughout the nations, when this moment comes, then the angel will seal of the children of Israel out of their 12 tribes, 144,000, 12,000 from each of those tribes. That confirms to our minds afresh, God has a future for Israel. Although she's scattered among the nations at this present time, God is not finished with Israel. And maybe what we are facing in this particular chapter as we open up chapter 7, here we have a remnant among the children of Israel, 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, sealed with the seal of God. Notice, sealed in their forehead. And so these tribes are now sealed as being of the purposes of God in relation to his particular people at this time. And of course, it's not new to us, is it? Because when we were reading Ephesians chapter 1, we find that having believed, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians, we were sealed unto the day of redemption. So it's God's purpose to mark out those who are his own, to seal them. And so we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But these 144,000 Jews will be sealed in their foreheads. Interesting, isn't it? Because when we get a bit further through, we find the beast, the Antichrist. When he comes to his preeminent power, we find that all those who refuse to have the mark of the beast either on their hand or on their forehead. Do you see, Satan will always copy the ways of God with his own. And so to mark out those who are Satan's own, he would have them sealed in their forehead or else in their hand. And so these angels, this angel with the divine seal, has come to seal out of all the children of Israel these 12,000 from each of the tribes. For that sealing marks them out as belonging to God. Also, of course, it does show us that God will have a witness, even among the children of Israel, scattered as they were. He will have a witness. And a lot of questions have been asked, of course, about these 144,000 of the children of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe. Why are they sealed? Well, of course, they are told they are the servants of God. So it may well be it is these particular remnant of Israel that God will use as his servants to proclaim what we'll come across later, the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's a suggestion, not as is stated in chapter 7, but it's a suggestion that God will use these Israelites, the remnant of the tribes of Israel. He will use them to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. That is, that the king is coming, and when the king comes, there will be the establishment on earth of the kingdom of God. And so we find our chapter begins, first of all, with this great truth: everything in relation to earth and sea is under the control of God himself. Angels are his servants. And then we find out of Israel, we have 144,000 of Israel who will be God's servants. And I take it during that tribulation period and prior, the years prior to, if it are years, to be God's servants proclaiming this good news. The king is coming. And with the coming of the king, there will be the establishing of the kingdom of God here upon the earth. Of course, John took a great interest in these things. Actually, the 12 tribes are named, but I think it's over 20 times you'll get lists of the 12 tribes of Israel. And again, the names of the 12 tribes do not follow the same each time the list is made. And so we find we've got Dan and Ephraim omitted from this list. Maybe, only suggested, of course, that it was those two tribes that were marked by idolatry when you read through their history in Old Testament scripture. And maybe, only suggestion, of course, maybe they were omitted because of their idolatrous associations. But when I tell you that there are over 20 lists, and among those 20 lists, there is a variation as to the names of the tribes. Maybe there's something more to it than what I've suggested. But then we notice this. If this takes place between the rapture and the commencement of the 70th week of Daniel, before the Lord breaks the first seal in Revelation chapter 6, as we saw last time, these then are going to be operated as the servants of God during that period before, as well as during those years of tribulation. Now then we then find that John sees something else. Not only that everything is under the control of God, which is the earth and sea. Not only that angels are his associates in accomplishing his purpose. And not only will there be 144,000 of Israel sealed in a future day. We then learn that there will be an innumerable number of people from out of all the nations and towns and tribes of the nation of the earth. In other words, from the whole nations of the earth, there's going to be a marvelous work of divine grace, and that during these awful times, these darkest days in Israel's history, in these darkest days of the world's history, I'm referring to the 7 years of tribulation. And so we find that with the commencement of those 7 years, God is working. There are these, the remnant of Israel, as the preachers, I suggest, of the gospel of the kingdom. And yet out of those tribulation years, God is going to save an innumerable company of people from every nation throughout the world. And so we're reminded, although God is working with the church at this present time, and God is calling out to people from all among all the nations to be the church for Christ. When that is completed and the church is taken home to be with Christ in glory, now we have a period on earth. We don't know how long before the 70th week of Daniel will begin. Some think only days. Others suggest, of course, a longer period. Maybe in view of what's to take place, it could perhaps be a number of years. For during this period, the events of chapter 7 will have their beginning. And so during the time gap, if you will, or the time period between the rapture of the church and the commencement of the 70th week of Daniel, those 7 years of tribulation, God is preparing a testimony for his name during that awful dark hour in the world's history. But we're told that actually there's going to be a vast number out of all the nations that will be saved. I take it that when numbers are stated in Scripture, they are literal and they are actual. There will be an actual 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel as an exact number that God will use as his servants. And when he says it being an innumerable company of the people of the nations will be saved during this time of tribulation, it means exactly what it says. And so there will be a company beyond human computation. They'll be saved during these dark, dark years in the world's history. And so we find that even in this chapter, in relation to these who will be saved, no, it does mark a time period within that 7 years. There'd be 3.5 years, which are often referred to as the tribulation. But then the second or the last 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, and I would say it's verse 21, the Lord Jesus calls the last 3.5 years the tribulation, the great one. That's the way in which the scripture reads literally. In Matthew 24. Now, out of that tribulation, the great one, God is going to bring forth this tremendous number who will be saved out of those dark, dark days when the great tribulation will run its course in the earth God is going to have this marvelous number saved during those dark, dark days. Just reminding us, there's nothing impossible with God. If he controls the events that happen on earth, and if he secures for himself a remnant from Israel to be his servants, then God is going to save out of this world this great company of people, saved, I take it again, through the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And there will be this vast number who will hear the preachers, Jews as they are, sealed so they cannot be killed and they cannot be hurt, preaching this great message of the kingdom. And as a result, this vast, vast number out from among the nations will respond to that preaching and will be saved. And so Daniel, he has one or two questions to ask, does he not, through the chapter? He said, whence are they? And where do they come from? Well, says the scripture, these will come forth out of the tribulation, the great one, a similar expression that the Lord used in Matthew 24, indicating to us that even during those last 3.5 years of dreadful, dreadful tribulation, God was so safe. Nothing impossible with him. We say such a vast number that we cannot actually call them up one by one. And they will be saved as a result of their working, even in the day of judgment, the grace of God. For judgment is God's strange work. And after all, as we saw in those six seals, we have the judgment of God. And yet amidst that judgment, no, God remembers mercy. And in his mercy, even in that dark day of his ultimate judgment upon the earth, which will be explained to us when we look at the seven bowls or the vows of God's wrath, even at that period, God will save men and women through the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, as John learns that they're going to come out of the great tribulation, we find there is an effect upon the angels. You see, the scene is still the same, isn't it? It's the throne of God. And God is the throne sitter. And there is a lamb. And now is the blood of the lamb. Because this vast number, they've made their robes white by the blood of the lamb, indicating to us the value of the work of Christ at Calvary will be demonstrated even in that dark, dark hour of great tribulation, when these saved ones are seen now envisioned by John, clothed with white robes, made white by the blood of the Lamb. So everything depends upon the value of the blood of Christ. That which symbolizes the sacrificial nature of his death at Calvary, it will have effects even in these dark days of tribulation. And as a result, the angels. We find the angels, they fall on their faces before the throne. And they worship him who sits upon the throne and the Lamb. And so we have, in these verses of chapter 7, we have this wonderful declaration of the worship of angels, or even angels will actually be affected by the results of God's working in mercy in these dark days, and linked with this great number that will be saved. They fall on their faces and they worship God. What a marvelous picture then. It's given to us by John in this vision that was given to him. And as I suggested, prior to the events of chapter 6, when the Lord opened those first four seals, and the earth and the sea and the trees would all come under the judgment of God in some measure. And so we find that now, as we come to the end of the chapter, we're taken beyond the days of tribulation and the tribulation, the great one. We're taken beyond the 70 years and these last 7 years, we take beyond all that. Because now John takes us to the very end time, when we have the eternal state brought before us in chapter 21. And we find in that day, no, they're not hunger. Oh, yeah, there'll be dreadful hunger when the Lord opens those seals. The bread will be affected, the fruit of the earth will be affected. They're not hungry anymore. They're not thirst anymore. So what was their experience? In those dark days of the world's history when God was moving in judgment in relation to the earth and to mankind because of their rebellion against him, men will hunger and men will thirst. In other words, just as today, in some parts of the world, there's dreadful famine. And we cannot begin to understand that if people go to bed hungry and thirsty. Famine has spread in different parts of the world. But in this case, the famine will be universal. And therefore there'll be hunger and there will be thirst. But says the scripture, these will never hunger and thirst again. And not only that, during those dreadful days of tribulation, when these suffer so much, tears, they shed tears, just like people today, as we observe through the media, you know, people shed tears every day because of conditions of war and rumors of wars and famine existed in this present world. And therefore, during those dreadful days of the judgment of God against the world and rebellion against him, these who are saved, they will shed tears. But now they'll be brought to a point where they'll not hunger and they'll not thirst ever again. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's an interesting chapter. And I've just lifted out the main thrust of the chapter in relation to Israel in the future, a remnant to be God's servants. And then this vast number of the nations saved during the days of God's judgment. And the promise of God to them that after all, there will be a day, no more hunger, no more thirst, no more tears. No wonder we ought to love the appearing of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But when he comes back to reign for 1,000 years, there'll be no shortage of bread, there'll be no shortage of wine, and there'll be no reason for tears under that righteous reign of a righteous king for 1,000 years. But of course, that righteous reign just steps us into the God's eternal day when these things will be in reality for all those who are the saved of the Lord. Now that's chapter 7, as far as I see it. And as I suggested, it happens that the events begin before the Lord opens the seventh sealed book. So when we come to chapter 8 on our next study, the seventh seal will be opened. And when we open the seventh seal, now God is going to move in a more severe judgment, as we shall see, in the trumpets that follow the seals. And we trust that God in his mercy will bless his work to us. Help us to, and encourage us to have faith in God, even in these dark days, because in far darker days, he will have his people in remembrance. Thank you.